The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We take as our text verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have read this familiar psalm once again this morning, it undoubtedly resonated with our believing hearts. And it resonates with us because it is such a simple yet profound expression of the belief and experience and emotions that we have as children of God. As we saw the last time that we looked at this psalm, this is the basic confession of the believer. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in that confession we express wholeheartedly in faith who we are, to whom we belong, and who he is to whom we belong. It is our heartfelt and personal expression of trust in Jehovah God, our shepherd who provides for all of our needs, in all of life's circumstances, and for everything that pertains to everlasting life to come. This beautiful psalm, David, the great shepherd king, draws upon his shepherding experience to paint for us a powerful picture of a shepherd and his sheep, which describes for us in such homely terms what our relationship with God is and what that relationship is like and what benefits come to us in that covenant relationship that God has established with us by his grace. What loving care the shepherd lavishes upon his sheep, the sheep whom he loves, the sheep to whom he gives himself. What benefits there are to being a member in the flock of Jehovah. He's chosen us to be his sheep. He's bought us with a price, and he's given us into his son's care as our good shepherd. And all of this is meaningfully captured in that first verse that we looked at last time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that first verse really summarizes everything that is revealed to us in the whole psalm. Everything that follows verse 1 really is unpacking that beautiful concept. Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verses 2 through 6 outline for us the marvelous benefits that are ours as the sheep of Jehovah's pasture. And so this morning, as we turn to look at verse 2, we're going to contemplate and consider and ruminate on, one, the beautiful blessings that belongs to us as sheep of Jehovah. We see how richly blessed we are. There are no other sheep in all of the world that have the wonderful blessings described in our text. Those who do not belong to the flock of Jehovah, who are really not sheep, but goats, they have none of these blessings. They go about abused under the control of the goat herd, whose name is Satan. But we, purchased with a price, members of Jehovah's flock, we have everything. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. Let those words sink into your souls. That's what Jehovah the shepherd does for you. He gives you peaceful rest, beloved, that only He can give. He provides the food that you need for body and soul. He refreshes you with the cool streams of still waters. He loves you. He guides you. He cares for you. He protects you. All of this. And so we have here in verse 2 of the Psalm, a beautiful picture of Jehovah's flourishing sheep, living in complete trust and dependence on Him. And as we confess this with the mouth, and as we meditate on it with our hearts, we look forward to tasting and seeing all of this in a very visible, in a very powerful, in a very real way in the sacrament of which we are about to partake. Here at the Lord's table, we come with open mouths. We receive the food for our souls. We come and we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, communing with our good shepherd who calls, and we hear His voice as a sheep, and we come. We flourish. We lie down. We rest. We eat. And we drink. So for a few moments this morning, let us consider verse 2 under the theme, flourishing under the Good Shepherd's care. Notice in the first place, enjoying His peaceful rest. Secondly, satisfied by His refreshing provision. And third, comforted by His protective presence. Psalm 23 verse 2 paints for us a beautiful picture of a flourishing flock of sheep, content, enjoying the peace and rest that they have under the watchful and loving care of their shepherd. And because the Holy Spirit, who inspired this psalm, intentionally uses this vivid imagery, let us take a moment ourselves to envision in our minds the scene that the psalm paints for us. The setting to imagine is the rugged, mountainous hill country around Bethlehem, where David, the inspired psalmist, spent his youth shepherding the sheep of his father Jesse. Picture David, that strong and rugged shepherd boy, guiding his father's sheep through the arid landscape, along the mountain trails toward the pastures only he knew how to find. Lush pastures that were not easily found nor easily reached. It required the shepherd to guide his flock to pasture by hard labor, hard and sometimes perilous labor, a hard and perilous journey through the mountain trails to the green pastures that were up nestled beside the cool mountain streams, far from the safety of the village and the sheepfolds below. So all along this hard and often perilous journey, the shepherd had to be ever watchful, keeping an eye on each one of his sheep to make sure that the flock stayed together as they walked those narrow passes, ready to jump to help a sheep at a moment's notice should one slip from the path and get entangled in the rocks along the path. He even had to be ready quickly to jump to save one of his sheep should, around one of the bends of the path, there appear a jackal or a wolf or even a bear hungry to devour the helpless sheep. And then, having navigated the treacherous mountain paths, the shepherd would arrive at the green pastures beside the still bubbling brook. Having arrived, the shepherd would have to secure the pasture, making sure that no danger lurked around in the rocks that were on the perimeter of the pasture. Then he would bring his sheep alongside the brook, make them to lie down, have them graze on the lush green grass that grew beside the water, to cool their dusty tongues with that cool water. And as we picture this shepherd bringing his sheep to pasture, what is the concept? What is the idea? What is the truth that comes out most strongly here in the text? Is it not the idea of peaceful rest? Everything else in the text serves to color this idea. This is what, above all, the Good Shepherd gives to the sheep. He brings them to a place where they have peaceful rest. This is clear when we look at the activity of the sheep that the text focuses on. Though the shepherd brings them to green pastures, it's not the grazing of the sheep that the text focuses on. The text says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The sheep lie down. They rest. And they rest beside still waters. And a literal translation of that phrase, still waters, is waters of rest. The idea is that the waters are peaceful, they're calm, and so they have a calming influence on the sheep as they lay down in the lush grass beside the still waters. Rest, a place of rest, where the sheep relax, where they are at ease, and where for a rare time in a sheep's life, they're free of all fear. Their hunger is banished. Sheep, perfectly at rest and at peace. And this picture that the text paints for us is an unusual picture. It is an unusual picture given the nature of sheep. Lying down in green pastures, being at rest like this, is not something that comes naturally to sheep. Sheep do not just lie down anywhere. They do not easily rest. The sheep can only enjoy peaceful rest under the care of their good and faithful shepherd. And that is due to the nature of sheep. Sheep are naturally restless creatures. They are restless creatures because they are naturally fearful, anxious, tense, and skittish creatures. Unless the sheep are put at ease by their shepherd and freed from all fear of lurking predators, sheep will not lie down. Their legs will be stiff and their eyes will be darting about and their ears perked up for the slightest hint of danger. Indeed, we may call sheep some of the most anxious creatures there are. They live, it seems, in constant anxiety and unease. Sudden sound. Slightest motion in the corner of their eye. The unexpected appearance even of something as harmless as a rabbit darting from the bushes, and they weren't expecting it, is enough to spook the skittish sheep. This constant anxiety and the fact that they are easily scared comes from the fact that they're such helpless creatures. Their only way to defend themselves is to run, and they're not even very good at that. Thus, the most contagious thing in a flock of sheep is panic. As soon as one or two sheep start running about in fear, it spreads to the whole flock, and before you know it, you have an aimless stampede of sheep running in blind terror, entangling themselves, even running off the side of a cliff or into a gully. There's nothing more contagious than fear. And nothing marks the nature of a sheep more than that they are restless creatures. Point. The shepherd gives his sheep rest. He causes them to lie down. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes the sheep to lie down. And the way he gives them rest then, the shepherd, is he relieves them of all of their fears. He takes away their anxiety. He assures them. There's no predators lurking in the rocks beside the meadow. He stands by, watching, being there so they can see him, assuring them that no harm will come to them. That's the picture. Now let us apply that picture to us, because, beloved, God designed sheep to be a picture of us. That's why David could write this psalm, and that's why this psalm resonates so deeply with us. As we read it, we read David speaking as a sheep, and we can put ourselves in David's shoes as sheep. It all makes sense, because the sheep's behavior describes very well our own behavior. We are like sheep, and we, like sheep, are naturally restless creatures, are we not? It's very hard for us to find rest. It's very hard for us to be at peace. We are restless creatures because we, like sheep, are fearful, so often anxious, so often even skittish in this life. We, like sheep, we live in a world full of danger and uncertainty that seems so much bigger than us. We are so often, like sheep, powerless to control what happens in our lives in this world. And thus our lives in this world are very much like the lives of sheep. We won't just naturally lie down and rest. We have to be made to rest. That's David's striking confession, is it not? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It was David's experience, and it's our experience. From our sheep's perspective of the world, our life is full of fearful unknowns. There's lurking dangers everywhere. We can't look down the corridors of time and see what tomorrow is going to bring, what next week is going to bring, what next year is going to bring. We don't know what lies around the next bend of life's pathway. We are so helpless before it all. And then to add to our fear and anxiety, we live in a world that's sin-cursed. It's full of evil, so much trouble, so much bad news in the world, so many trials, so many hardships, so many sufferings. From our sheep's perspective, we live in an uncertain and terrifying world. We fear, we're anxious, we're tense. Even in those times when our lives are not upset by great trials or struggles, there is an endless supply, it seems, of little disappointments, troubles, hurts, annoyances, the cumulative weight of which press us to the ground. We worry, we fear, we're anxious, restless. More than that, we're naturally restless creatures from a spiritual perspective. We are men and women with sinful natures, and sin breeds restlessness. We have sinful natures that we daily have to strive against. We have to contend against the evil lusts of our flesh. Yes, we are renewed in Christ, but yet that old man in us remains inclined to all evil. And therefore, there is a ceaseless war within our own hearts, within our own lives, a ceaseless war against our own sin and our own sinful inclinations. And so often this can produce spiritual restlessness. The good that we would, we do not. But the evil which we would not, that we do. There are times when our consciences are heavy. We're burdened with the weight of the sense of guilt for our sins. Perhaps we're battling with a besetting sin, and that sin overcame us yet again. And it presses us even deeper into a feeling of darkness that we can't overcome. Perhaps the memory of past sins haunts our minds and the devil uses it and whispers in our ears, "You can't be saved. Look what you've done, sinner." All of this tends to spiritual restlessness. And so like sheep, we cannot just lie down and rest. We have no peace of ourselves. Only the shepherd can give us rest. Only the shepherd can give us peace. And that's the heart of the text. Here is the comfort and the beauty of the text. We have a good shepherd, just as David was a good shepherd to his sheep. But our shepherd is far greater than David, far greater than the best of human shepherds. He is Jehovah. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, the covenant God who loves his sheep such that he will give the life of his own son for the sheep. We have a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and he makes us lie down. He gives us rest. And he does it just as David did it for his sheep. He does it by freeing us from all of the fear, all of the anxiety that is built into our restless natures. He makes me to lie down. He frees me from fear. He frees us from fear because He's in control. He leads, He guides, He protects, He cares for us, He walks with us, He exercises His almighty power on our behalf. And we as His sheep by faith know this. Freedom from fear comes when we acknowledge that the Good Shepherd is in control. He is the one who rules my life. And recognizing that as helpless sheep, rather than trying to take control of our own lives, we surrender ourselves in faith into His hands and trust Him completely. And we're free, free of fear, free of anxiety. That goes against our natural tendency, which is not to trust Jehovah fully. When we don't trust Jehovah fully, we will always be subject to fear and anxiety. As long as we want to control our lives, there's going to be fear. Because we can't. We're as powerless over our own circumstances and our own lives as sheep are powerless over theirs. So, beloved, let's apply that personally. Are you afraid? Is your life spent in anxiety? Hear the Word of God. The Word of God that is put into your mouth as your confession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. There is rest. There is freedom from fear. There is freedom from anxiety. Trust the shepherd. Trust Him completely. Who is more trustworthy? Jehovah. The eternal I am, the almighty God of heaven and earth. He is the shepherd who led Israel like a flock through the Red Sea, through the impossible path, and then brought the towering walls of water down upon the predators' heads so that the whole host of Pharaoh was drowned in the sea and Israel walked on dry ground toward Canaan. That's your shepherd, beloved. That's your shepherd. Know Him. Trust Him. Rely on Him. He stills the anxious mind. He quiets the frenzied thoughts of fear. He stills fear. Think on the text. Let it become a part of you. Meditate on it. Recite it over and over in those fearful times of life. Jehovah's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here's the freedom from fear and anxiety. The Good Shepherd does more than that. He also gives us the most blessed of rests by freeing us from the greatest of our fears. Which is, of course, fear of punishment, fear of retribution, fear of suffering on account of our sins. The Good Shepherd makes us to lie down, gives us rest and peace by freely and fully forgiving us of all of our sins. That is rest. That is what calms the fearful conscience. Knowledge of the full and free forgiveness of sins. Which, of course, is based on the good work that our Good Shepherd has done for us. What did He do? The whole Bible reveals the outstanding work of the Good Shepherd. He became incarnate by the Holy Ghost. He was born of the Virgin Mary. The Good Shepherd became one of the sheep. So that as a fellow sheep, He might lay down His life as the Lamb of God to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. Having shed His precious blood, He merited eternal redemption for all of His sheep. He merited all of the blessings of salvation, full forgiveness and righteousness everlasting. And so there is no reason to fear. Though our sins pile up in our minds, though the devil arouses in us a sense of guilt, that guilt is gone. The good shepherd has taken it. He makes you to lie down. The quiet, calm conscience. I am his sheep. He has bought me. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's true rest. And so you see, the true rest that Jehovah the Shepherd gives is above all the rest of having the assurance of salvation. Assurance of salvation is not some elusive, difficult to obtain blessing that only certain favored sheep in the flock obtain. Assurance of salvation is a blessing that belongs to every sheep in Jehovah's flock. It is a blessing that Christ bestows upon us all. The Good Shepherd does not leave us in doubt, fearful doubt about our salvation. There's no greater restlessness than that, fearing that you are not saved, that God does not love you, that He does not have an inheritance for you stored up in heaven. That's not God's purpose for His people. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes us lie down. That rest is knowing the forgiveness of our sins and being assured in our hearts that all those blessings are ours by faith in Christ. That's yours, beloved. It's yours by faith. It belongs to the essence of your faith. Hold it fast. And come to the Lord's table. Come to the Lord's table to have this assurance strengthened. This table is prepared for you in order to help you rest. Rest is the assurance of salvation that we have by faith. And this table is spread before you to be a means to strengthen your faith. Here the Good Shepherd says, come, taste and see that I am good. Taste and see the blessings that are yours because of what I have done for you. Rest, rest, have peace. As we perceive those elements, contemplate what they picture, the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God to cover our sins. And as we take and eat and drink those elements, we are resting in the care of our Good Shepherd, feeding in His green pastures, drinking from the cool streams to which He leads us. That is rest, the greatest rest for us restless sheep. But the Good Shepherd gives us more. There is much more to this peaceful rest. He causes us to lie down, but He also feeds us. The shepherd feeds His flock. An important part, then, of the rest is the refreshing provision that the shepherd provides for his sheep. Refreshing provision that satisfies all of the needs of his sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The text points out to us two basic needs that sheep have. A need for food and a need for fresh water. And without these things, the sheep cannot rest. Because without these things, they will grow weak, famished, and eventually die. To rest peacefully, sheep need to have these basic needs met and satisfied. They must have enough food. They must have clean water to drink. In fact, if these things are not present, sheep will be restless. If a sheep is hungry and without food or thirsty and without water, he will not lie down. He will go about wandering aimlessly, seeking where he might find pasture, where he might find water to drink. As you know, sheep are foolish. They're dull. They cannot be trusted to find these things for themselves. They need the shepherd to provide them. They are prone to get themselves into all sorts of trouble if they go about seeking their own food or their own water. A hungry sheep will wander about, eating whatever vegetation comes across his path. It might not even be nutritious at all. It might even be poisonous. It might be a thistle. His hunger, he foolishly devours it to his own hurt. A thirsty sheep will drink out of the first water pit that he finds. Might be a rushing river, And as he sticks his head into it, that water grabs him and carries him downstream and even drowns him. He may stick his nose into a polluted pool full of parasites and drink to his own hurt. Sheep are entirely dependent upon the shepherd for the food and the water that they need. They try to get it themselves. They'll do themselves more harm than good. So the text says, the shepherd provides. Notice two things about the provision, this refreshing provision that he gives. First, it's plentiful provision. Green pastures, still waters. And especially that idea of green pastures, that word green literally refers to freshly growing grass after a soaking rainfall. It's grass that's bright green. It's grass that has grown up plentifully because it is nourished by a fresh rain. The shepherd provides abundantly, sufficiently, enough to feed each and every sheep in his flock the portion that they need for strength and for health. It's plentiful provision, but especially nourishing provision. Green pastures, still waters. The shepherd carefully seeks out the best pastures, and he leads his flock only to the best of the pastures. Lush, full pastures. Not brown, parched, dead grass. Fresh, green grass. Kind of plant matter that a sheep needs, the kind of food that nourishes, the kind of food that helps a sheep grow, the kind of food that helps the ewes produce nourishing milk for the lambs so that they grow too, the kind of food that serves the health and well-being of the sheep. And the same goes for water, still waters. The shepherd identifies a still, clean stream of water for his sheep. He doesn't lead them to that rushing, roaring river where he knows they will be swept away. He doesn't lead them to a dirty, stagnant swamp. He leads them to still, clean waters. Sweet water. Gently flowing water. That quenches their thirst and refreshes their bodies. That's the kind of provision the shepherd provides for his sheep. That picture painted for us can then, once again, be applied to you and me. This is what Jehovah the Good Shepherd does for us. He not only makes us to lie down, but he provides everything that we need, everything that we truly need. He satisfies us with his refreshing provision of our deepest needs. Now, of course, this includes our physical needs, our daily bread. That's not the focus of the psalm, but it is included. Our shepherd provides us with our daily bread. Whether we are living in a time of plenty or in a time of scarcity, whether we are rich or poor, this truth remains. The shepherd provides, and he provides enough, and he provides exactly what we need. The shepherd selects the pasture. The shepherd selects the stream and leads us to those. Whatever our pasture is in this time of life or that time of life, whatever stream he leads us to, because we trust him, we know it's best. He gives us what we need in this life. Trust him like sheep. Look to him for your daily bread and be satisfied with the amount he is pleased to give. But the focus of the text is especially upon the spiritual pasture and the spiritual water that our good shepherd provides. Christ is above all a spiritual shepherd, is he not? As he is described in 1 Peter 2, verse 25, he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And that is what his shepherding care focuses on. Our souls, our spiritual life, the life that he implanted in us, our everlasting life, of which we have a beginning now, which he will cause to grow and flourish into eternity. That is the life of us his sheep, that Jesus, the good shepherd, is above all concerned about cultivating and caring for. And so in His loving care, He provides us with the refreshing provision that is needed for the life of our souls. Jehovah's sheep do not live by bread alone, or even by bread primarily. Jehovah's sheep live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is the green pasture. That is the cool mountain stream with which He refreshes us, and by means of which He feeds and nourishes our souls unto everlasting life. It's the Word of God. The Word of God, the heart of which is the Good Shepherd Himself. The Word of God which presents to us our Good Shepherd. Our Good Shepherd who is also the bread of life. So that as He speaks to us through His Word, He feeds us with Himself. He gives us that true and heavenly bread by which we live. Our food is the Word of God that communicates to us Jesus Christ. Beloved, see the connection between the rest the shepherd gives and the pasture, the food the shepherd gives. He gives us rest by means of the pasture that He gives us. Those two go together. The Good Shepherd does not cause His sheep to lie down in a barren wasteland. He does not cause them to lie down and rest in a sun-parched desert. Where does He cause them to lie down and have rest? In the green pasture. Apply that to us. We will only have rest and peace and freedom from fear and all of the rest by means of His Word. The Word which we grasp, take by faith. Faith which is the hand and mouth of the soul. Which we take, we feed on it. We ingest it. We digest it. It becomes part of us and it transforms us. It imparts life. It gives health and strength. We rest in the Word. So many applications can come out of that. The importance of the preaching of the gospel, where Christ Himself speaks directly to His people, presenting them with that food. But also the importance of Bible study. Our daily personal devotions be in the Word. We're given these green pastures. Feed in the green pastures for the health of your soul. We're given rest. We're given refreshing provision in the Word of God. And it all comes down to this then. We rest and are refreshed in the person of the Good Shepherd Himself. That's the most important part of our rest. We can't rest without Him. We can't eat or drink without Him. We have nothing without Him. We are the prey of predators without Him. Above all, we need Him to be with us, to make us lie down, to feed us. We need His presence, His protective presence. And that presence He gives us. That's the promise of the Scriptures. That's the promise of the covenant. I am with you. I will be your God. Ye shall be my people. Jesus declares to us, He will be with us even unto the end of the world. And so let us be comforted by the protective presence of our Shepherd. He is always with us. He is always near us. He is always giving us rest. He is always feeding our souls unto everlasting life. For a sheep, there's nothing more comforting than that. Nothing more reassuring. Nothing more that quells fear than the keen, sharp awareness that the shepherd is nearby. He's here. He's in the pasture with me. He's not far. Whenever I'm in need, He'd be there to help me. He's watching. He's protecting me. It's not enough for a sheep to know that the shepherd will periodically check up on him. It's not enough for a sheep to have rest if he knows that the shepherd is distracted and not paying attention to him. It's not enough for a sheep to know that the shepherd may go off and disappear for a while. No, the shepherd, or rather the sheep, needs to know that the shepherd is going to be there 24 hours a day for him. Then the sheep have rest. Then the sheep will feed. Then the sheep are comforted. That's the case for us. We need Him every day. It's not enough if He were to be with us only once in a while. We need His presence every moment of every day to know He's watching, to know He's caring, to know He's providing, to know He's protecting us. We need that every step of our earthly pilgrimage. That is what enables us to lie down and rest. And beloved, that's what we have. That's the shepherd we have. He's with us. He will never forsake us. So, beloved, no matter what is happening in your life right now, no matter what affliction you may be going through, no matter what struggle with sin you're fighting with, no matter what, you can lie down and rest. You can. Because He is with you. And He's not going anywhere. He'll be with you until He leads you all the way through this life into the eternal pastures of heaven itself. Lord is your shepherd. You want nothing. And so in that comfort, in that confidence, let us now come to the table and let us lie down in green pastures beside the still waters and enjoy His presence, enjoy His fellowship today and all of our days. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Bless us by Thy Word. Refresh us with all of Thy blessings and give us rest. And now as we partake of Holy Communion, strengthen our faith by these means, that we may all the more cast ourselves upon Thee and as Thy trusting sheep have rest in this life and all of our days. Amen.